Okay. Parshas Ki Tsetse, Tavshin Samachet. Last week we spoke about Yirah Shamayim that originates outside of the person, which is incumbent upon all human beings. The Yirah Shamayim that comes from observing the world, asking the basic questions that must be asked when somebody sees the world that Hashem created, and coming to recognize that there's a creator and a cause from the world for the world. And we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up the situation that we will come to know that there is a God, and we will have fear of that God through the great natural phenomenon. And we ask for fear of Hashem because it's something that is in Hashem's hands. This was the subject of last week's talk. And then we spoke about an inner Yirah Shamayim that comes from within oneself, from recognizing from understanding the word I, Anochi. What does I mean? The Ani, its association with the word Ayin, the total void, the possibility of non-existence, the fact that each person feels they're unique and they're here for a reason and they're meaningful, their life has a purpose, and that brings a person to their own private Yirah Shamayim. And that's incumbent upon every Jew. And what we're going to do today is develop further the idea of Yirah Shamayim through an entirely different angle. And the way we're going to start is by analyzing a couple of halachas, mitzvahs in the Torah this week. And hopefully we'll get not only to an understanding of Yirah Shamayim, but also an idea that will help us out for Rosh Hashanah, explaining in the end part of the first two words in the 13 Midas, Harachamim Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanan, which we will repeat over and over again in the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. So that also hopefully will be our objective. Now, our basic question starts in a whole different place. The parasha starts out with the halachas of Eishes Yifas Torah. Now, you probably all know these laws. You're in the army. It's not a great place to be for your moral strength. But we're speaking about a Jewish army. And we know, and we've learned, that the Jewish army in its optimum form, when there was a Navi, when there was an army that ran according to the will of Hashem, the way it worked was that anyone who was afraid that they had an avera that they haven't done tshuva for would be asked to leave and not endanger the army, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu would surely help those that were fighting in that they were pure and they were l'shem shamayim and they were tzaddikim. So we're speaking about an army of righteous people. We're speaking about that the most holy went to war, and the more mediocre stayed home and took care of the home front. And yet, even in this army of the righteous, those who really didn't have any large avera, great avera to do tshuva for, even in this army, we recognize that there could be people who succumb to weakness of the moment. And there we find the laws of Eishes Yifas Torah, which means you see among the captives, a non-Jew, a captive woman. So she doesn't share your ideals, and she's not on the same page as you, and nothing. She's from the other nations that know nothing about our God and our Ruchnius. This is not an intellectual partner or a spiritual partner, simply someone that's beautiful, or you're attracted to somehow. And the pasuk says, and you desire her, v'chashachta ba, and you desire her, you may take her for yourself as a wife. You bring her home. Shave her head, let her nails grow, you give it a month to kind of see if your attraction will dissipate, but if it's still there, you're entitled to marry her. Now, the halacha allows for this weakness. You know, just a person is smitten by some beautiful non-Jewish woman that he sees, and he must have her, he must bring her home. Now, the Torah at the same time warns us that it will end in disaster. That ultimately, what will come from this union is the Ben Sorer Umorer, which is the child that is rebellious. Now, the truth is that it's very difficult to fit all the qualifications of that type of child, and it never really happened in the particular way the Torah describes, because the parents have to have the same exact tone of voice and be the same height and look the same, and the child has to do certain things between certain ages. It's very unusual. But the point is Yes, there's never probably was a Ben Sor. There never was a this type of child that actually was killed by Beis Din. But the point is, there'll be trouble. This is not a good idea. It's going to lead to disaster. Okay? And yet it's permitted. There's an understanding that there sometimes you don't want to say no because the Yetzer Hara is too great and there'll be a violation, so it's okay. It's technically mutter. Not recommended, but mutter. Further on in the Parsha, we have another example of something that is mutter. Not really very appealing, if we think about it. Not very impressive, but nevertheless mutter. And not recommended either. Considered a disgrace, but mutter. And that is in Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. The halacha is the following. Ki yikach ish isha ubala. Let's say a man takes a woman and he consummates the marriage. And she doesn't find favor in his eyes. Okay? Because he found, for example, in this case, ervas dover. She was unfaithful. Something wasn't so good here. He is permitted to divorce her. Now that sounds okay. He should divorce her. It's a mitzvah to divorce her. But the Gemara commenting on this halacha goes further. Gemara in Gittin, Daf Tzadik says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Afilu matza acheret, na'a mimena, na'a heimena, muta legarsha. If he even found a woman more beautiful than her, he can divorce her. That's mutter. It's permitted to divorce your wife if you're just not attracted to her anymore. In fact, although it's permitted, from a pasuk in Malachi, where the words are kisone, Shalach, kisone shalach, which technically means if you hate her, send her away. The Gemara learns out from there. Chazal say, sonoi hamashalach, the one who sends her away is hated. It's disgraceful. You don't send away someone because you're attracted to someone else. Nevertheless, it's permitted. Once we start getting into this whole area, and these ideas, by the way, today come from primarily my grandfather, and the beginning part and the end really is chedushim from Heshi, my husband. His thoughts on this whole concept, a branch of this idea. So my grandfather goes here in the Sefer into a whole list of halachas, of mitzvahs, that are technically mutter and really, you know, kind of appalling if somebody would actually take advantage of them. And yet they are permitted. So, for example, here's a mitzvah. There's a halacha that melech poreitz geder lasos lo derech. A king can break through somebody's wall that he has around his field, or even a wall of a city, just smash it down because that's the way he wants to go and he doesn't want to go on a longer road. And you can't stop him. Now, it's an act of disregard, it's wasteful, it's arrogant, but technically it's mutter. A king is allowed to do that. By the way, Shar Yafo was dismantled in part when Kaiser Wilhelm insisted on marching through with his tall German hat and refused to bend his head. So there was some gate there at some point that had to be taken down, some railing or something. But in any case, the concept is a melech has the right to be poreitz geder, just like that. It doesn't even have to ask the owner because he decided to. Now, it's not an act of sensitivity. We're not impressed, but it's mutter. Another in Shmuel we learn melech mutter lo, a king it is permitted for him lokech lo sada ve'ena chazeres piovel. He could just eminent domain take somebody's field as Achav did to Navos. Just took his field. Said I need it. It's near my field. It's right. It's adjacent to my field. So I'm taking it. That's my right. I'm the king. Okay. It's not nice. It's a type of it's the way the dictators act. Without concern for their subjects, but it's mutter. A king can technically do it. Here is another difficult halacha. A man can sell his daughter for a maidservant. Now, that's really, in a sense, a betrayal of her. And in fact, the Torah uses the words in Parshas Mishpatim, Bebagdoba, he's betraying her, but it's mutter. He can sell her as a maidservant if he needs the money or for whatever reason. And of course, unscrupulous people can take advantage of these permissibilities in the law and for whatever reason, and other people suffer. But it's mutter. He's allowed to sell his daughter as a maidservant. In addition, here's another one. You want to hear another one? Here's another one. If somebody is a valid yibum, the candidate, a woman is married to a man, has no children, the man dies, the halacha is yibum. If the man wants to do yibum, he can insist on marrying her whether she likes it or not. Technically, even he can even baal karcha against her will. So the question is, we have a basic philosophical question here. A basic philosophical question. The question is, don't we learn, aren't we conditioned to see the Torah as a body of law that is drachei darchei noam, ways that are pleasant, ways that are in keeping with balanced, healthy humans, like, you know, emotions, not here to torment people, not here to be cruel. Drachei darchei noam, the Torah is supposed to be pleasant. So why is it that there are... why is it that there are halachas in the system, or mitzvahs in the system, that technically allow a person to behave in a way that's, you know, a disgrace? And not all have to do with women. Not all have to do with women. These are a few examples that have to do with women. It has to do with taking someone's field, or there's other examples too. Here there are a few that deal with women. So we might feel this more. That's my grandfather's basic philosophical question. It has to be dealt with. What are these laws doing in our Torah? What are these, you know, why is there room for this? So my grandfather explains that, and consider what we spoke about last week about Yiras Shamayim. We said, Akol bidei Shamayim chutz mi Yiras Shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for Yiras Shamayim. That's in our hands. What kind of Yiras Shamayim? The kind that comes from inside the self. From saying, Anochi, who am I? I have a purpose. I'm here for a reason. I'm not an accident. My existence is being watched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem cares about what I do. And I have the ability, with my few years here, to make a Kiddush Hashem, to bring more awareness of Hashem in this world, to be more of an Arla Gayim. I have the possibility. It's in my hands. Do you know why we cover our eyes when we say Shema? And you know why Moshe covered his eyes by the Sneh? One of the reasons we cover eyes, my father-in-law, Zalman Wien, just told me this yesterday. Said, you cover your eyes because you don't need to look outside of yourself to come to have your Shamayim. It's all inside the self. The questions, the answers, the feeling of purpose, the feeling of being relevant and having a job to fulfill and being able to, it's all in us. We're all already designed to find the Shamayim inside ourselves. Why do you think Hashem makes us curious to know how we got here? And what our reason is and what our purpose is and how we're different than other people. People love to hear a psychoanalysis of themselves. They love handwriting analysis tells them about themselves. They love horoscopes tell them about themselves. People love to know about themselves. And Hashem hardwired that inside of us, so we will look inside and realize we're individuals. We have an anochi and a role to play. So when it comes to expressing that Yiras Shamayim, there are two real drachim. There is the derech of the mitzvahs lo sase. Mitzvahs lo sase are forbidden acts, things that if we transgress, we are violating something. Hashem forbids it, and we have to stay away from it, and it's a violation to overstep those boundaries. Now, whenever we speak about lo sases, things we can't do, we always think in terms of restraint, tzimtzum, holding oneself in, gathering one's strength and harnessing it and keeping it, you know, as a defense against our desires. So when we speak about lo sases, we speak about pulling inward, fear, yira, holding back. These emotional responses go together with the act of restraint. And areas that fall into the category of lo sase are very, very carefully legislated. The 39 malachas of Shabbos and their billions of little toldos and little extensions, they're all very carefully mandated. When you come to a lo sase, like forbidden foods, it's all very carefully controlled. There's really no room for human initiative or your own expression. The lo sases work upon the yira, the fear of a person. It's a way of expressing yira shamayim by restraint. And if a person oversteps their bounds, it's an avera, period. And there are areas that are very important, and as we said, Shabbos, Kashrus, Gezel, Lashon Hara, and even the Torah talks about Avodah Zarah and Arayos, certain boundaries that can't be crossed, period. And it's not up for the person to decide. That's all the area of Los Ases and Yerushalayim expressed through restraint. But there's a whole area of Avas Hashem, love of Hashem, and that's expressed through action, through initiative, through a person's own creative way of doing a mitzvah, of filling a gap that they are not particularly asked to fill, of playing a role that they are not mandated to play, just being a Kiddush Hashem, through love, through using our mind and our hearts, our creativity, to find ways to express the being Arlagayim, express Hashem's will in this world. That's the area of Ava, love, and it's the area of Mitzvahs Ase. So it's in this area that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us room to demonstrate who we are. And specifically for that cause, there are many behaviors that are technically permitted, not mandated. So there's no, there are permitted behaviors, like the ones we describe, which are not very edifying, but permitted. And here's where the person can exercise and demonstrate their own avas Hashem, their own love of Hashem, by knowing that technically something could be gotten away with, but the person wouldn't want to. And the Torah doesn't suggest it. In fact, highly recommends against it. But here's where a person can act, can express their own avas Hashem, their own form of Yerushalayim in the Ahava, in the Ase, in the Mitzvahs Ase. There's got to be that space. Otherwise, we're all robots. The space does not, we are not given that space in Los Ases, that's too dangerous. We're given the space in the Mitzvahs Ase, in what we can and how we can behave. And the person is given, a person can technically, in these areas, almost go as far as they want to, And it's mutter from the essence of the halacha. But Hashem wants to see our ava that is burning inside a person. And therefore, he tells us here, you choose. And this really is synonymous with the idea of kadoshim to you. And we're going to talk about that for a minute. Kadoshim to you. You should be kadosh. So really, whenever we speak about the word kadosh, and you might have all heard some of these ideas before, we're going to focus on one aspect of them. When we speak about the word kadosh, Rashi tells us in Kadoshim to you, Parshas Kadoshim, prushim, separated. It's what you're not doing. To be kadosh is to be parish. It's about the mitzvahs los asei. It's the things you're not allowed to do. So that's one whole area of kadusha. Don't violate, don't overstep the boundaries in what I've taught you. And all the mitzvahs los asei, which are numbered at 365, mitzvahs los asei. Be kadosh. Be mufrash, be separated, don't say that, don't think that, don't do that, don't go there. It's not allowed, don't cross the line. But Ramban goes into a long discussion, as you all know, beyond kadoshim to you, which means watch, be vigilant with the isser, what's forbidden. Ramban goes into a whole long discussion of the opposite, the other side, which is kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach. Now also be kadosh in the things that are permitted to you. So let's talk about that for a moment. That means things like this, that are mutter. Things where there's a lot of area to be as naval b'rshus HaTorah as you want, as naval, which is like a disgrace, within the boundaries of the Torah. You you can't be taken to Beis Din. You can be as naval, you can get drunk on kosher wine and all this type of thing we spoke about. You can be naval b'rshus HaTorah, But nobody can take you to court, as we said. But here Ramban says, here's where the other aspect of kedusha comes in. Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach. Make yourself kadosh in the areas that are permitted to you. Now, how does that work? How does a person involve themselves in something and yet remained mufrash, separated from total indulgence in that thing, from total degeneration in that area, and yet still participate in that area? So the way we describe this really comes from the Apta Rav who tries to explain a deeply philosophical statement of Chazal and helps us understand Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutar Lach. So the statement of Chazal describing Hashem and his association with this world, Chazal say, Hashem, God, is Mikomo Shel Adam. He is the Mikomo Shel Olam. He is the place that this whole world exists within. He is the Makom of the whole world, the whole universe. He is the Makom. But Ein HaOlam Mikomo. But this world is not his Makom. So, first of all, this whole universe exists, in a sense, inside the Makom of Hashem, surrounded by Hashem, whatever that means. But nothing in this world is Hashem's Makom. So Hashem is not in my sefer, or my alf, you know, my fabric of this shirt, right? The sweater. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in a glass of water or in anything physical, right? We know that. To speak like that is childish and foolish. This world, Ein HaOlam Mikomo, nothing physical in this world contains Hashem. Hashem is Mufrash, Kadosh, 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 Mufrash, 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 separated. At the same time we say, Malo Kol Ha'aretz Kavodo, the whole world is filled with his kavod. And by the way, if you say only one half, it's total apikorsis. If you just say Mufrash, 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 God is transcendent and removed, that's not how we see it. If you just say Malo Kol Ha'aretz Kavodo, your Spinozan, you know, pantheism, the whole world is God, it has to be worked together. That's the Jewish dialectic. Two things that really don't seem to work together that must always be held together. How do we see that? It's the same concept. It's Mikomo Shel Olam, but Ein HaOlam Mikomo. So let's give a mashal. Let's think of a fetus in a mother's womb. Would it be true to say that the mother is Mikomo Shel, the place of the fetus? Yes. The fetus exists in the mother's womb, so it breathes the mother's air in a way. It's carried from place to place by the mother. It's kept warm and protected by the mother. It lives by the life force of the mother. The blood of the mother circulates through the baby's, the fetus's body. The mother animates this baby entirely. It might even look like the mother. It's part of the mother. Its whole life is dependent moment by moment on the mother. So it's true to say the mother is the makom of the fetus. But would you say that the fetus contains the mother? No. Ein ha'olam mekomo. But the fetus doesn't contain the mother. So that's the relationship in a very, very poor analogy, okay? But something that perhaps is slightly, you know, dramatic in its imagery. You could see it a little bit. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu envelops, so to speak, animates this whole world. Malo Kol Ha'aretz Kavodo. The whole world is an expression of Hashem's kavod. Hashem brings this world to life, keeps it going. It might even express, at times, more or less, the will of Hashem. But at the same time, this world doesn't contain Hashem at all. This world is limited and can't possibly contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Apturav explains, this is the yesod of Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutar Lach. That's how we emulate Hashem in the truest sense. Hashem said, Kadoshim Tiyu, be Kadosh, because I am Kadosh. In other words, emulate me. Well, by just staying away from Averus and not violating, that doesn't sound like an emulation of Hashem. By just being parush, that's not a real, true emulation of Hashem, because Hashem is not just parush, separated from this world. There's more to it. It's not just he's separated, he's not involved, he's not contained. It's not enough to say that just being parush from sins is emulating God. You must have the Ramban's addition. Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutalach, you must be parush, even when you're involved, that helps us really emulate Hashem. Look, Hashem contains this world, brings this world to life, animates this world, guides this world. But Hashem is not absorbed or contained by this world. So that's how we behave too. There are many areas in our life which are mutter. We give them life. We give them meaning. We eat. We get married. We engage in a regular in business. We give aspects of our life a meaning. We give them purpose. We bring them to life. However, none of those areas should absorb us completely and define us. So we eat, but we are not defined by the art of eating. We decorate our homes and make a beautiful surroundings for ourselves because it helps us function, but we are not defined by the home that we've built. Right? We get married, we are involved in relations in a kadosh kind of way, but we are not all about that. We're not, you know, it's not who we are, which unfortunately in America they're talking about, you know, this has become like an addiction for people. It's a whole new area. That's who they are. That's the primary part of their personality. So in this area, in all areas in life, we engage in what's mutter, but it never is allowed to define us. Nothing material, nothing temporary, nothing death-bound is who we are. We just use it. We give life and meaning and purpose and beauty to it, but it isn't the total definition of who we are. Nobody is defined by those death-bound, limited things. And that's how we can emulate Hashem in a truer sense. Kadesh atzmecha, be parush, be a little separated from the things you're doing. In other words, Hashem allows something. Hashem allows a behavior like Eishes Yifas Tovah or divorcing one's wife because she's not so pretty and you're more attracted. It's technically mutter. But don't indulge in it. Like any low life who's got no spiritual content at all, like any, you know, person on the street that has no awareness of who they are, their dignity, their self-respect, their kavod. Rather be parush, be separate, have a little restraint, understand the bigger picture, act like a person, like the Gemara says, and it says a malachi who would never, who should appreciate the gifts of the wife and the loyalty and the children and the love and all the other qualities and values in life and not be so superficial. And thereby express who you are, express your godliness, not your base animalness, you know, express your godliness that you understand what a human being is. That's how you're parsed, you're separated, you hold yourself back. You don't indulge in everything that's mutter, and thereby show your Yira Shemaim that comes inside from inside yourself, and thereby to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who also, in a sense, has a involved but also removed relationship with the world. My grandfather used to say, I remember when we ate there on Shabbos, he said, "So, you just had a Sudas Mitzvah. So tell me, what did you enjoy, the Suda or the Mitzvah?" So, in other words, give life to and meaning and purpose to the areas in life we're entitled to, and at the same time, restrain from every possible behavior that's technically permitted and very, very disliked at the same time by God and any you know in Hashem's hope that we will have higher aspirations, and conduct oneself. But here's an whole entire arena of free choice. This is the arena of Avas Hashem, of free choice, of raising oneself up in a big area, of demonstrating the desire to show Yiras Shamayim where it's up to us to the extent that we want it. Now this brings us to a whole other discussion. The discussion is that in this arena of Yira, which is mandated, do not violate certain laws, there are absolute lines in the sand, and we are told this is beyond this is forbidden and punishable, versus the area of Avas Hashem, which has a lot of room for our own creative expression, our own greatness, how much we raise ourselves up, how much we become more sensitive in Ruchnius, that's how we behave in this arena. So there's an understanding that, or rather a question, can a person really be trusted? Can a person really be trusted to, you know, to with these laws, these freedoms that the Torah gives us to behave, you know, in a whole, you know, big spectrum is open for us. Can a person really be trusted to conduct themselves correctly and not basically degenerate to the lowest common denominator? How do we trust people not to take advantage of the allowances of the law that feed, you know, that kind of accommodate their most base instincts? How do we trust people? Have people proven to be trustworthy in the course of history not to degenerate, not to allow themselves to sink to the lowest possible, you know, place that's technically allowed? So maybe it's too much of a risk to allow these things and give people the freedom, because who says they'll live up to that confidence that Hashem has in them? So what has to be understood here is a concept in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about a big machlokas, a philosophical machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. We're going to give two different, we're going to build on the understanding of it. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai had a machlokas. Halalu omrim, and this is Beis Shammai. Noach lo la'adam shelo niver. This is from Ervin, and this is Heshi's already area. This is what he helped me with. Ervin Yud Gimel, Ahmed Beis. Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra, yoser misha nivra. Now listen to those words carefully. It's better. Would it have been better for the person, shelo nivra, if they had never been created? Yoser, more than, yoser is like a numerical term, more than they had been created. So we have to focus on that word, not only the philosophical question, but the technical words. Beis Shammai says, Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra. It would have been better if a man wasn't created. Yoser misha nivra, more than, numerically more than they had been created. But Halalu Omrim, and Halalu is Beis Hillel, says, Noach lo la'adam shenivra. No, it's better that a person was created. Yoser mishalo nivra, more than that they weren't created. Nimnu v'gamru. So they counted and they concluded. Now counted what? So the simple pshat is they counted, they voted on it. You know, and they counted by the way they did it at that time in Yavne, by majority vote. Remember we talked about Yavne? This was one of the long, long debates that took place at Yavne after the Chorban, between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So they counted the Gomru, and they concluded, according to Beis Shammai. This is Paskin. We don't usually Paskin by Beis Shammai, but here we do. Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra. Yoser mishenivra. It's really had been better had a person never been created. But achshav shenivra, now that they're created, we are here, yefashfesh b'masav, he should try to fix his deeds, that's Rosh Hashanah-like. Va'amrila, and some say, Yimashmesh b'masav, also that he should be careful, check them very carefully, that he shouldn't do anything wrong. He should be very vigilant with his deeds, b'masav. Very vigilant with his deeds now that he's here. Okay. So there's a machlokas raging. You know, what are our chances here? Since it seems that our chances really are, you know, we're at a huge risk here to get through this world intact spiritually, maybe it's better had Hashem not created us, because that's really the core of this discussion, because how many people can get through this without serious damage to their spirit, to their neshama, which was in beautiful condition before it arrived here, and then with the whole package of the body and its taivas and its desires and all of that, and the emotional needs of a person for kavod and kina and all of that. You know, what's the likelihood we're going to do well? And Beis Shammai says, pretty low likelihood, we should have never been made. And Hillel says, no, you know, we have a fighting chance. It's good that we were created. And they decided, they counted and decided, it's like Beis Shammai. So firstly, the basic idea is that once the Gemara concludes that it's mutav shelo nivra, it's better had we not been created, what that tells us is we are on dangerous ground. Which tells us immediately, if we don't face this world with a little fear, a little sense of trepidation of the dangers, we're lost. If we don't realize mutav shelo nivra, that the Gemara understands that it's better had we not been created, because people are, people are weak and it's hard to get through this world intact spiritually. So if we don't realize the dangers looming ahead of us, if we don't realize how easy it is to fall, if we don't realize mutav shelo nivra, which is a sense of yira, fear, restraint, you know, going forward with trepidation, carefully, being afraid not to mess up, you know, afraid, I'm sorry, to mess up. If we don't have a working sense every minute of mutav shelo nivra, we're treading on, you know, dangerous soil here, then we can never be trusted. We are never to be trusted with, a free, open range. Here's the spectrum of the halacha. Do what you want with it. Without that Yira Shamayim, a person given, certain allowances in law will take advantage of every opportunity to be as base and as low as they can, and they certainly can't be trusted to get through this world doing well. So what we're saying is, first a person has to be aware, mutav shelo nivra, then maybe if they really feel that yira, they can be trusted to go ahead with mutav shenivra. And it's okay that you were born. Now that you're here, do the right thing. As long as you're fortified with the sense of the dangers. That's number one. By the way, that's kind of where Yitzchak comes before Yaakov. Only once you have one of the avos that's willing to give up their life, that's willing to sacrifice the whole life, that's willing to serve Hashem with total yira, can you have Yaakov then, who's fully engaged in life and encounters all kinds of issues and is asked to use his wisdom and his judgment and do it right. That's part of the progression of the kochos of the avos also in this area. But that's number one. Mutav shalom nivra has to be a working awareness for all of us, and otherwise to be given freedom to act as we see fit is fraught with danger. Okay. But it goes further. Let's get more technical here. Look at the word yoser. Noach lola adam shalom nivra yoser mishanivra. It's better had he been created more than he had not been created. The Nimnu v'gamru, they counted it up and they concluded. What are they counting? What's more or less here? Well, think about it very simply. How many mitzvahs lo asei are there? 365. How many mitzvahs asei are there? 248. So if a person had never been created, okay, they would have never had a chance to do 248 mitzvahs. But they wouldn't have violated 365. So here's the wording. Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra yoser, more than had they been created. It's better had they not been created because there's would have saved them. There's more chances of violation than missed opportunities to do a mitzvah. Nimnu v'gamru, they counted, maybe not each other. They counted the mitzvahs. And they realize that in a world of action, in a world of masa, of action, the odds are totally stacked against us. There's more opportunity to violate than to do. That's it. So that's why it says in the end, and we paskin by Beishamai, because that's the calculation. No question about it. It's not only philosophical, it's technical. So that's why it says, but now that we're here, be careful with your masim. Always check your deeds. Always be aware of your maisim, of your deeds, because just counting up actions or lack of action is going to, tip the scales, which reminds us of Rosh Hashanah, right? What are we more? Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, if a person has more zechuyos than avonos, they're called a tzaddik, and nechtam l'chaim, they're written down for life. Person's more averus than mitzvahs, they're called a rasha. And then there's the Beinoni. Rambam doesn't say if you have all mitzvahs, you're a tzaddik. No averus. He says if you have more mitzvahs, which means you have 1,000 averus and 1,001 mitzvahs, you're a tzaddik because you're more a tzaddik. You still have to do tshuva, but you're more a tzaddik. But here they're saying a similar type of thing, that there are more chances to go this way. Things are kind of stacked against us, so we have to muster all our koach, all our strength, to survive this world. That's according to Beis Shammai. What is Beis Hillel thinking by saying mutav shenivra? It's better that we were created. He must not think that everything is stacked against us. He must not be counting the mitzvahs the way Beis Shammai is counting the mitzvahs. And it seems to be that that's right. Beis Hillel is not counting 365 against 248. Beis Hillel is making a different calculation. What is the point of all the mitzvahs? The point of all the mitzvahs is one thing and one thing only. To come to have fear of Hashem. Fear of Hashem means we have faith in Hashem only and nothing else, and we don't deviate. In other words, according to Beis Hillel, you might say that everything really comes down to 50-50. There's only two real objectives. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yielach Elohim Acherim. Why did Klal Yisrael only hear these two dibros mipi ha-gvura? Because everything is in these two dibros. Everything is either a way to get to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, a total trust and devotion to Hashem. That's the mitzvah's aseh. And lo yelocha, a restraint, staying away from everything that takes us away from Hashem. Lo yelocha Elohim acherim. Staying away from any behaviors that are contrary to the awareness and the devotion to Hashem. That's what everything comes down to. So according to Hillel, are the odds stacked against us? According to Hillel, it's a 50-50 chance. Person can either succeed in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, awareness of Hashem, right? Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, or a person, God forbid, could fall and forget Lo Yelach Elohim Acherim. It's the positive and the negative. 50-50. So according to Hillel, we have a fighting chance. But according to Hillel, the difference between Hillel and Shammai seems to be, Shammai says actions. In behavior, there's more chances to violate. And human beings are about their behavior, and their behavior becomes who they are. The way a person acts is eventually how they start to think, and who they are, and what their nature as a personality is. Our actions affect us. Hillel's speaking about our faith, our knowledge, our understanding of Hashem. He's not talking about the actions. He's saying all the actions are only for either to get us to a solid place where we can say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and to keep us away from the Lo Sases, Lo Yelach Elohim Acherim, everything else. Everything else that makes us betray the will of Hashem in this world. So it's all about what we know and our connection to Hashem. And in that we have a 50-50 chance. They paskin like Beis Shammai. People have to be aware of their actions. Their actions will lead them to understanding. And you can't just know Hashem and not worry about your actions. It doesn't work like that. This all helps us understand the Rosh here in Maseches Rosh Hashanah tries to understand why we say Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham V'Chanun. It's a plea for mercy. Now we know, Rashi tells us, famous Hashem, Hashem, Hashem kodem achet, Hashem acharei achet. Hashem gives us rachmanas before we sin, and Hashem gives us rachmanas after we sin. So what's the simple question? What do you need rachmanas for before you sin? So my husband would like to answer this according to this machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So here's what the Rosh says. The Rosh says, Hashem, Hashem. Anihu kodem shiyichta ha'adam, anihu achar shiyichta ha'adam. I have rachmanis before, I have rachmanis after. And if you ask, matzorech adam l'midas rachmim kodem shiyichta, what do you need midas rachmim before you ever sin? So here's answer number one. V'yesh lomar, sha'afal pi shegaloi v'yadua lefanav shesofo lichto, even though he knows that a person will sin, misnag imo b'midas rachmim basher husham, he gives him midas rachmim, even though he knows he's going to sin, so he already anticipates it, so he gives him the serachimim prior to the sin. Who's that like? Why does Hashem know we're going to sin? Beis Shammai, because the odds are stacked against us. Hashem set it up like that. There's so many areas to violate. So Hashem knows it. He knows we're going to sin. So therefore, he gives us rachmanis in anticipation and to strengthen us, because it's inevitable to some degree. That's answer number one. But the Rosh doesn't stay with that, remain, satisfied entirely with that answer. He gives another answer. Sounds a lot like Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel. Why? Here's another reason why Hashem has to give us Rachmanas Kodem Hachet. Because according to Beis Hillel, are we going to sin? We have a 50-50 chance. We have a 50-50 chance. Nothing is stacked against us. We have all kinds of ways to get to Anochi, Avas Hashem, awareness of Hashem, all kinds of ways to help us stay away from Lo Yelcha, violating, 50-50 in the end. The mitzvahs might not be equal, but the results are equal. We can either go this way or that way. So we have a 50-50 chance. So what do you need Rachmanas, before? V'yesh Lomar. So he says, I'm sorry, another answer is Kodem Sheyichta Ba'avodah Zarah. Before he sins with Avodah Zarah. In other words, we could go either way. There's only two ways. But since we might go the second way, and Avodah Zarah means everything that betrays Hashem in this world, we need Rachmanis. And he says, why? What type of Rachmanis? He says, Sheyichta Avodah Zarah, V'afal pi shekavar chashav la'avoda He goes into a discussion like this, even though when a person finally does sin in Avodah Zarah, or some version of it, and they intended to sin, and they envisioned the sin, and the sin was percolating in their head. So when they finally sin, Hashem actually joins the intention to the act, and it's a double whammy. But if a person just intends and doesn't act, Hashem doesn't take the intention into account at all. The only time the machshava is mitztaref to the masa, is joined to the action, is if the person actually acts. But what if they just desire? What if they just think about betraying a Kodesh Baruch Hu in any one of thousands of ways? That's where Hashem gives them rachmanis and doesn't count it. So Hillel saying, yes, it's a 50-50 chance, but this is an extreme form of rachmanis, although it's 50-50. And it's not stacked against us. So if a person starts veering, and it's the veira starts percolating in their head, and then in the end they don't act, although technically when a person does act with avodah zarah, or some version of it, they're blamed for the action and the preparation. But if a person stops themselves at the last second and doesn't act, so all of that wasted time in their head, which they could have envisioning that avera over and over again, it's deleted, removed. That's an act of rachmanis. It's not considered as if they veered off. They're still very much in the, you know, the Anochi Hashem. They're still abiding by Lo Yelacha. So mutav shenivra, it's okay, it's okay. We have many cushions. It's better had we been created. Because in the end, only if we really act, and there's a 50-50 chance, then we're in trouble. But before that, there's all these protection, you know, measures. So this is Rosh Hashanah, Tefillah, Hashem, Hashem. But what we're, in the end, what we're saying here is that, yes, there's a lot of space given to the human being to act according to their own, you know, their own place, spirit, where they are in Ruchnias, to their own Yerushalayim, their own Avas Hashem. With a healthy dose of knowing Mutav Shalom Nivra and the dangers of being created, a person can be trusted to act and to express themselves. And Hashem gives us mitzvahs, and that's a vote of confidence, that there are these areas where you could behave terribly, but it's a vote of confidence in the people, that here's where they will truly demonstrate their Avas Hashem and their Yirat Shamayim and prove that even though there are things stacked against a person can watch their deeds, watch themselves, develop the Yirat Shamayim, and in the end, Kadosh Baruch Hu decided, Mutav Shenivra, Hashem decided it's better we are created because we're here. Hashem decided we can succeed. We are afraid of it. We fill ourselves with a healthy dose of realism. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided in the end we can be trusted. And with the Rachmanis that Hashem offers to us, we can succeed. And so therefore a person who falls and falls again picks themselves up, because we know it's kind of built into the system. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has confidence that despite all the challenges, we can prove that Mutav Shenivra, it's better had we been created, because sometimes a great act of Kiddush Hashem, a great moment of self-sacrifice, you know, a great, you know, person pushes themselves, sometimes it's, you know, we don't expect it, we don't see it coming, and there it is, and it makes a whole life worthwhile, you know, it gives meaning and purpose to their whole life. A person produces something that lives on after them that's even greater than them, perhaps, their children or their... what they contributed to the community, which has great benefit, maybe even greater than themselves. For this, it's Mutav Shenivra. So we're not doomed. We're not doomed, like base, but we're warned. And the warning gives us the warning is meant to fortify us so that we know we can go forward realistically, but with hope that Kadosh Baruch Hu always is pushing us in the right direction, has confidence in us. And it's given us the opportunity to demonstrate through Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar Lach who we are, who the Anochi is. And that's, again, the word of the Shema, you know. It's all about, it all comes from inside ourselves. We find it in ourselves, who we are. And in the end, that's the Ben Adam L'Makom. That's what Hashem, that's only between us and God. Only Hashem knows our true self. And no one else needs to know it. Atznei Alecha Sam Hashem Elokecha, to go humbly with Hashem. And we hope that we will live up to Hashem's confidence, make HaKadosh Baruch Hu proud, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say about us, Mutav Shenivra. Okay. Next week, Do you want to do the Rosh Hashanah Tefillah? I did it a couple of years ago in the Amen group.